there's a lot of different facets that SEPA handles behind the scenes that people don't even hear about or even probably take into consideration. We obviously handle insurance for the projects. We schedule water. We manage the hydro resources to maximize their value. Can shift hydro assets from one reservoir to the other and maximize that. We do a lot of risk management that goes on behind the scenes. We, as I mentioned before, we self-insure several large assets, the interties, and we have four submarine crossings with four conductors each that we self-insure. And just to kind of give you some perspective on what that degree is, it costs about $5 million just to replace one cable. And those are type of assets that it's not if they're going to fail, it's when they'll fail. They do eventually fail over time. We do an incredible amount of R&R projects, which are renewal and replacement projects, which maintain a robust system that has a high level of reliability and availability. We anticipate our R&R projects will probably be about $2 or $3 million a year in over the course of the next 30 years is what we're forecasting. The amount of R&R resources that will be required over 30 years, if you escalate that for inflation, it's in the range of $205 or so million over that course of time. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we do. We manage and plan and organize all the heavy maintenance that occurs at the Tai'i and Swan Lake project facilities. We also handle regional planning and track load growth and things of that nature. We do power scheduling. We manage voltage stability. We do snow surveys to figure out when the inflows are coming in and to most effectively manage the resource. What that means is, you know, as you're trying to time, everything's a matter of timing when you're managing our resources because our storage facilities are small. And so inflows come fast, and but they get locked up when it's cold up in the hills and snow. And then eventually in the spring they release. So one of the reasons why they had to burn some diesel this year was because of the October inflows were low, record low year, and also we had some outside temperatures that affected that as well. So,
one thing I was always kind of curious about, is there any way, I don't know, through humongous batteries or something, to store some of the power when we're spilling, when we have excess hydro and we're not using all that we've got?
There are mechanisms that have been used in other places around the state, and we actually had a request in for a grant to study storing energy in hydrogen. There's also some other methods. You can drill holes into the rock and put energy into the rock, and the rock will end up holding that energy, and you can bring it out at a later time. So that's just one of the parallel paths that SEPA's looking at, other storage-type options that will help bolster our system and minimize the need to burn diesel.
I guess the question I have for you is, why SEPA? Why? What is your argument against divestiture?
There's a lot going on behind the scenes that's very complicated and never really gets talked about out in public mostly. Most people just look at their 6.8-cent power that they've had for over 15 years. That's a reason in and itself. You know, SEPA provides very stable power rates, which is good for economic development. It allows businesses to appropriately plan their future. And also, we do have almost the lowest power rates in the whole state right here. And certainly SEPA has been a part of that. Funding going ahead is going to be very difficult. And as I'm sure you heard Senator Stedman state here at a recent chamber meeting, that you know, we stand a lot better chance of getting funding for these projects if we band together as a unified region rather than trying to go it alone. So I think there's big benefits there. Certainly pays dividends for the ratepayers. That's monies that they wouldn't have to pay in debt service. So there's a whole host of reasons for why SEPA was created. Another big thing is SEPA was created to remove risk from the member utilities. We take on an enormous amount of risk on behalf of the utilities and the local communities. And that protects them, and it also allows them to, rather than having that additional debt, to pursue other initiatives within the community that benefits the whole community. So it's a big part of the puzzle.
You're getting out and getting this message out as part of a public relations campaign. So overall your message is SEPA's doing a good job. What is it that you're hoping to accomplish through the public relations campaign?
Well, we were tasked by our board to get out and communicate the message of what SEPA's doing and the benefits it provides. I think in the beginning it was more of a one-sided story, and we just encourage folks to stop by our office, swing by if they have a question.
One thing that members of the media have had concerns about is the Open Meetings Act. You guys have to follow it's in your bylaws, but not the open records part. Can you explain the difference and why one and not the other?
The Open Meetings Act is just a good policy. We want community engagement in what we do. I think you'll find over the time that I've been CEO that we have opened up a lot of our documents. A lot of our foundational documents are now posted on our website. Our board packets are available that have all of our financials included in the board packets. So I think as far as transparency, we're doing a good job of that. Certainly some of the endeavors that we do have some confidentiality type aspects to them as we're exploring new hydro resources and working with entities for that type of stuff. So I think that we're giving the public a fair and honest bit of information about our organization and how we're conducting our business.
What's the justification for not giving the recording of what had been a public meeting that was open to everybody?
We don't release our recordings. We take our minutes off the recording when we do it, and we take those minutes to the board for approval, and they approve the board meetings. And then that meeting's erased, and the next one is done. That's just the way we've done it, and that's the way we'll continue to do it. And people are more than welcome to attend our meetings. You're more than welcome to bring your own recorder and record your whatever you want at our meetings. We don't stop people from doing that.
You're trying to be more open and let people know what's going on, but you are representing three communities where travel is difficult. So for the general public, if they're not, even if they called into that particular meeting, it was very difficult for my friend in Petersburg to be able to hear what was going on. Not just record it, to just hear what was going on. So that makes it very challenging. But if you had the recordings available, then the public would be able to hear what happens at a meeting, and that would further your aim of community involvement.
I don't disagree with that, but one thing that I've experienced with the media here is they tend to take little snippets and sound bites, and they take it out of context. And that's been a real problem. I spend a lot of time trying to controvert misinformation being fed by the media out in the public. We've contacted various offices over the time that I've been here where there's been unfactual information released and not vetted by the media prior to its release. And once that stuff goes out there, then it makes it very difficult to correct misinformation. Frankly, we have a small staff, and we're very busy working on initiatives for the benefit of Ketchikan, and I prefer to spend my time doing that than trying to controvert misinformation being generated by the media. So, long answer to a short question. But
another thing that generated a lot of discussion at the most recent meeting was the addition of staff, and I was hoping you could address what the additional staff are going to be doing, what their duties are going to be, what it's going to comprise?
Certainly. As I brought up at this board meeting and our last board meeting, I identified some areas in the organization that I thought that we needed additional resources. The folks in my office, we work late nights, weekends, and I don't want to impact staff retention by being understaffed. But at the same token, we still have initiatives that the board has directed us to do and to efficiently execute those. We need some additional staff. And basically right now I'm looking at two positions. One's an administrative assistant and another one's an engineer to help out on project management and things of that nature. So.
And will those both be full-time positions?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Is the work that SEPA's doing, are your duties expanding? Is it growing?
I think the role that SEPA's playing down here since we've moved the offices is certainly expanded over since we've been down here. We've received a $3 million grant from the state to do hydrocide analysis and basically to vet the next increment of hydropower for the SEPA region. So certainly we want to be able to accommodate those type of things as they come up, and they do take resources to execute.
This is where I ask you if you want to add anything.
You know, SEPA's here doing projects that primarily benefit Ketchikan. And, you know, we've been able to hold the power rate steady for over 15 years, and SEPA staff is working hard to be able to continue with that and to develop new hydro resources to meet the needs of Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell. And I think at the end of the day, I think that's what everybody wants.